Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, replacing old windows for smoother operation and home comfort. More at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, May 2nd. I'm Abby Larico. A Colombian man from St. Louis died in ICE custody last month after being detained in a Missouri jail. He left his country in 2023 seeking a better life with his family. Now his mother is searching for answers.
Quiero seguir luchando porque eso era lo que él quería.
I want to keep fighting because that's what he would have wanted.
What she's found out about his final days. And a huge ensemble of musicians, actors, and singers will perform a classic work in St. Louis this weekend, including some of the most famous music you may not realize you already love.
It's super famous for good reasons because it's so wonderful. Pum, 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 pim, pum, pim, pum, pum, pum. It's exhilarating.
The story behind the St. Louis Symphony's latest collaboration. Those coming up after this news on The Gateway. A familiar face is returning to lead the St. Louis Development Corporation. STLPR's Lucretia Wimbley has more on the return of Otis Williams.
The SLDC's board of directors appointed Williams as its interim president and executive director. Williams isn't exactly new since he has 22 years of experience at the city's development arm and previously led the SLDC from 2013 to 2021. He's taking over for Neil Richardson, who was appointed by former Mayor Tashara Jones and led the organization for the last 4 years. Richardson thanked Jones for his appointment and expressed the importance of eliminating divides in city government. Mayor Kara Spencer says Otis Williams will serve as an interim leader starting Friday while the city seeks someone to permanently fill the position. I'm Lucretia Wimbley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Early findings of an investigation into a deadly crash at a Central Illinois after-school camp show the driver might have had a medical emergency. 44-year-old Marianne Akers of Chatham was driving in the village south of Springfield Monday afternoon when her Jeep left the road, traveled through a field, and then smashed into the building, killing four young people and injuring six others. Preliminary toxicology reports found no evidence alcohol or controlled substances played a role in the incident. The investigation is ongoing. ISP Director Brendan Kelly says his agency has been in touch with the victims' families and the Sangamon County State's Attorney.
All evidence and all ascertainable facts will be submitted to that office for review at the conclusion of our investigation for a determination of what charges, if any, are appropriate under the law.
Some funeral services for victims will be this weekend. St. Louis City and County saw a record number of pedestrian deaths in 2024. That's according to a new TrailNet crash report. 23 pedestrians in the city and 36 in the county were killed last year. That's a 187% uptick in the city and 24% increase in the county. Cindy Mintz is the CEO of TrailNet. She says the report details well-documented challenges in the region, including speeding on wide arterial roads that lack mid-block pedestrian crossings.
People don't recognize how just going from 35 to 45 increases the deadliness of hitting somebody.
Mintz says traffic calming measures and pedestrian safety infrastructure, including well-maintained sidewalks, can improve outcomes. A federal judge has dismissed a lawsuit challenging aspects of a new law putting the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department under the control of a governor-appointed board. Judge Matthew Shelp tossed the suit, which argued the bill curtailed the First Amendment rights of public officials to criticize the board and that it was an unconstitutional, unfunded mandate. Shelp had issued a memo chastising the attorneys for not responding to questions about why the case should be in federal court, but ultimately decided not to issue sanctions against the attorneys in the case. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer says she's considering filing a lawsuit in state court. St. Louis Board of Aldermen President Megan Green, a defendant in the dismissed federal case, has also said she plans to keep the case alive. The former police chief and city administrator of Velda City is accused of stealing more than $300,000 from the small North County municipality. Federal prosecutors announced the charges against Daniel Paulino yesterday. He allegedly used the city's credit card for personal expenses and transferred money to several businesses owned by either him or his spouse. Paulino then allegedly tried to conceal the theft by depositing money from his personal accounts into the Velda City Treasury. Paulino did not have an attorney listed and did not immediately respond to a request for comment sent to an email associated with one of the businesses. A couple hundred people gathered at the Gateway Arch yesterday as part of nationwide May Day protests. They rallied in support of the working class and against the Trump administration. Many say they're protesting to take back democracy and support labor unions. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
Families, students, and retirees gathered in downtown St. Louis to protest against the Trump administration's harsh policies. The May Day protest is part of a nationwide effort to let the administration know that people don't approve of federal job cuts and trade wars. Donald Looney is a member of UAW Local 2250. He says union workers are paying close attention to the impact of tariffs on the auto industry.
We don't want any more of these trade agreements that cause companies to close down factories and workers lose jobs.
Looney says many auto workers aren't in favor of the tariffs because they're afraid they could cripple the industry. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
If April showers really do bring May flowers, St. Louis is about to be overrun with blooms. The region just experienced its wettest April in 135 years of records. The National Weather Service says more than 10 inches of rain fell. That just barely beat the previous record set in 1893 by 0.01 inches. Heavy rains on just 5 days drove most of the rainfall totals. The National Climate Assessment says climate change is creating heavier and more frequent rainfall events in the Midwest. A St. Louis man has died in Missouri while under the custody of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. As St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz reports, while his family is grieving his loss, they're searching for answers about what happened and why his last days were marked by apparent illness and self-harm. The following story does contain details of suicide. Listener discretion is advised.
ICE announced Brian Garcon Rayo's death on April 10th. According to an agency press release, the 27-year-old was found unresponsive at the Phelps County Jail in Rolla. The Missouri Highway Patrol has since launched an investigation into the incident. Lucy Garcon is his mother. She says she's attempting to learn what led to her son's death.
Quiero seguir luchando porque eso era lo que él quería.
I want to keep fighting because that's what he would have wanted.
Like many his age, Brian was always on the go. He loved riding his motorcycle, hanging out with friends, and sledding down Art Hill after a fresh snowfall. It was part of the American dream his family was chasing. The Garcons arrived in the U.S. in 2023 after increasing harassment and threats of violence in their native Colombia. But the road to St. Louis wasn't easy. Lucy says her family faced hardships on their journey to the gateway to the West. Through it all, Brian was by her side.
Mi hijo era muy buen hijo, muy buen hermano.
My son was a good son, a good brother. For him, it was about his family. That's why we're here, because of him.
Since arriving in the country, Lucy has started her asylum process, but her son did not. That was the beginning of his troubles. Brian was first arrested last year in Shrewsbury for shoplifting, including eating chicken at a store without paying for it, according to the probable cause statement. He missed a hearing for the incident, and the court issued a warrant for his arrest. In March, Brian was charged with credit card fraud, a misdemeanor, after visiting a vape shop on Delmar Boulevard. In another probable cause statement, he says he used a stolen credit card that was given to him by an acquaintance.
Yes, pero necesitamos saber por qué. What happened?
Video of his March arrest shows Daisy, his sister, and Lucy asking St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department officers why they were arresting Brian. It appears the officers didn't speak Spanish. Officers eventually told the family they had arrested Brian because he was under investigation. Daisy says her brother thought that he was going to be let go on bond.
Well, they took my brother because he didn't go to court in California. He then had a deportation order.
A St. Louis police spokesperson said while the department doesn't enforce federal immigration laws, its policy is to turn over people who are arrested without legal status to ICE. Shortly after his death, St. Louis prosecutors had not dropped charges against Brian. Gabe Gore is St. Louis's circuit attorney. While he couldn't speak on the specific case, Gore says his office can't dismiss the charges until they receive his death certificate.
The fact that this particular defendant died in ICE custody is tragic, but from our perspective, it doesn't impact the process at all.
Brian did not have an attorney. A spokesperson for Missouri's 22nd Judicial Circuit Court said he would have been offered a public defender at his first hearing on April 23rd. He'd been dead for more than a week by then. On March 25th, Brian was arrested by ICE and transferred to the Phelps County Jail, roughly 100 miles away from his family in North St. Louis. It's not clear why. Lucy's daily calls with her son were his lifeline while in jail. During one call, she says he complained about the food and persistent stomach aches. It was the last time they would ever talk.
Yo en mí, yo dije, sería que se enfermó algo, lo tienen hospitalizado. Yo me imaginaba cualquier otra cosa.
I thought to myself, could it be that he got sick or something? Is he in the hospital? I'd imagine all sorts of other things, but it was so strange because no one from over there had contacted us or told me my son was in a hospital. Everything was confusing.
Then, on April 7th, her phone rang. A jail worker told Lucy that her son Brian had hanged himself with a bed sheet at the Phelps County Jail. He was taken to the hospital in Rolla, but was soon to be transported to a St. Louis hospital. His family said it was there that the 27-year-old was pronounced brain dead. Lucy says she still has questions surrounding his death. She says other detainees told her that Brian showed increasing anxiety being in jail and would even violently throw up. In one instance, her son allegedly threw himself down a flight of stairs.
Indirectamente lo orillaron a hacer lo que hizo. Mi hijo era una persona que él no tenía.
Indirectly, they pushed him to the edge to do what he did. My son wasn't a person who wanted to kill himself. He didn't have a motive. He was a healthy young man. Yes, with difficulties, problems like any family, but nothing to take his life. But they cornered him. They pushed him to the edge to do it. That's how I see it. I took it as, want to kill yourself? Fine. Do it for real.
The Phelps County Sheriff's Department operates the jail and did not respond to multiple questions about jail conditions and whether Brian was on suicide watch. Lucy says she wakes up thinking about her son's body sitting in the morgue.
Every day, I wake up with that anxiety in my stomach, with that emptiness, knowing I haven't been able to give him a proper Christian burial. However it may be, whatever it takes, I haven't been able to do it. That's what has me so overwhelmed.
A full coroner's report on Brian's death won't be available for several weeks.
Brille para él la luz perpetua. Brille para él la luz perpetua.
Days after her son's death, Lucy headed to pray at the Art Hill Basin, where Brian would go sledding on a cold winter day. That's where she laid a portrait of her son down at a makeshift memorial space, surrounded by the glow of candlelight, white balloons, and his green and white soccer jersey. The song Amigo by Brazilian songwriters Erasmo and Roberto Carlos played over a speaker as his family and friends gathered to celebrate his life.
Realmente el amigo que todo camino y jornada está siempre conmigo. Aunque eres un hombre aún tienes alma de niño.
And throughout Lucy's grief, Brian's words stayed with her. Words that encouraged her and her family to head to the United States in the first place.
Mom, you have to live life because you never know. One day you may be here, and the next, you may not.
Lucy wants answers about what happened to her son under ICE custody, and to say goodbye.
El último día que se lo llevaron en cuerpo físico, hubiera sabido de pronto un abrazo y decirle lo mucho que yo lo amaba.
Lucy says she wishes she could give Brian a hug and tell him how much she loves him. One last time. I'm Brian Munoz, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis and the Midwest Newsroom's Kayvon Mansouri contributed to this report. If you're in the United States, the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is available by calling or texting 988. There's also an online chat at 988lifeline.org. Henrik Ibsen's 1867 play Peer Gynt is an overstuffed epic telling the story of a selfish man's colorful adventures traveling the world in search of pleasure. The music that composer Edvard Grieg wrote for the play became some of the best-known music in the world. This weekend, the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra performs a fresh adaptation. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, the artists behind the show want to breathe new life into the classic work.
St. Louis audiences may not be too familiar with the mythological characters that Ibsen put into his play, Peer Gynt. Imagine Stephen Sondheim's musical Into the Woods, but in 19th century Norway. But before you say you don't know Grieg's music for the play, you probably do, even if only from Bugs Bunny cartoons. The adaptation of Peer Gynt this weekend requires 150 artists on stage. That includes orchestra, the SLSO chorus, 7 actors, and 1 puppet.
I wanted to explore a genre where music and story were on equal footing. And what does that look like if it's 50-50? It requires everyone to grow a little bit out of their own skin.
That's adapter and director Bill Barclay. He places all the musicians and actors on stage so they can play off of each other, instead of inhabiting parallel but separate worlds. SLSO music director Stefan Denev says the collaboration offers him the chance to be spontaneous up at the conductor's podium.
It really adds a new layer of emotion, and I have to follow, so I will adjust a lot of music to what they say and the way they say it, so yes, I will be very attentive to the actors and will dialogue with them in music.
That dialogue will go beyond the highlights from the score, which Grieg merged into 2 suites that remain concert hall favorites. Barclay says this production includes lots more music from the original that just resurfaced in the 1980s.
And I discovered all this new Grieg that I thought, well, I've got to smuggle into my adaptation as much of this as I can, because this is the opportunity to open it up and unpick the stitching and realize all the hidden gems that Grieg left on the cutting room floor.
But the hits, as it were, are still there. Like In the Hall of the Mountain King, which, if you didn't know, you've probably heard 1,000 times out of context in TV commercials and cartoons. Here's Denev leading the Netherlands Radio Philharmonic through it last fall.
It's super famous for good reasons, because it's so wonderful. Pum, 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 pim, pum, pim, pum, pum, pum. It's exhilarating.
Less familiar than the music is the play that inspired it. Barclay rewrote it all. He added modern references and jokes to Ibsen's winding tale. On a recent morning, Stefan Denev thumps the 400-page score onto a table.
Et voilà! A big score, many pages. You travel the world, you travel a full life. So yeah, there is a feeling of an epic journey, and I love that.
This take on Peer Gynt is an often comic, family-friendly affair. But Barclay says things turn serious when the anti-hero finally regrets his lifetime of selfishness and good works left undone.
It does drill down finally to the most important takeaway of our existence, I think, which is, as soon as you stop worrying about your own foibles and problems and you start looking after other people, happiness is right around the corner.
If you do turn that corner, you'll bring with you a valuable lesson and one of the most unshakable musical earworms ever composed. I am Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Bravo. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur, but for a bit of a boost this morning as we head into the weekend, this is St. Louis Symphony Music Director Stefan Denev conducting the Netherlands Radio Philharmonic in Edvard Grieg's Morning Mood. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this has been The Gateway.